This morning I want to share with you about problems, that God solves problems. That's the title of my sermon this morning, God solves problems. Is there anybody here that never ever has any problems? Okay, so God will be speaking to each one of us, including myself, okay? Because when God speaks, He speaks to everyone in the room. He may speak differently, but He will speak to each person, and I'm sure He's going to speak to all of us. See, many people out there don't believe that God does solve problems. And there has been times when I ask people, can I pray for you? Can I pray for your situation? I see people going through a hard time, and I say, can I pray for you? And they very, very politely say, no, it's okay. I'll be okay. Have you ever had that? I'm sure many of you experience that. And it's a crushing blow when people do that. Because you see their pain, you see their suffering, and yet they're not willing to let someone pray for them. They think they can do it on their own. Today I can spend hours and hours telling you about the many, many times that God has solved my problems. And I can speak this morning from experience. I speak from what God put on my heart to share. I don't share my own word. I don't have a word to share. It's God's word. But I can share what God has put on my heart to share with you this morning. So whether it is financial problems, work problems, whether it's health issues, which were many, of course, over the years in my life, God has always been faithful. And I can assure you of that, that God is always faithful. And this morning I want to tell you that whatever problem you are facing, whatever problem you may face in the future, God can solve all your problems. All the problems, not some, and we will see in a moment. God can solve all your problems. Some people think God can solve some of their problems because they've got too many problems for God to solve. But God will solve all the problems and not some. And so we're going to open up. First of all, I just got to tell you that I can't solve your problems. No one can solve your problems, but God can. And if you, for example, lost your job this week, or if you had a health issue this week, I can't heal you. I can't give you a job. That's why we need to turn to God. Because God will provide you with another job. God will heal you. I can be there for you. I can help you. But I can't solve your problem. And I think nobody can except God. But we can be there for each other. If you're facing a health issue and you need a meal or something, or if you're going through financial problems and you need a few meals, then I'm sure I can help you and other people can help you. But we can't solve your problems. God is the only one that can. So let's open up to Psalms chapter 34. Chapter 34, verses 17 and 18. Okay. The righteous cry out, and the Lord hears them. He delivers them from all, their troubles. The Lord is close to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. A beautiful scripture. He will solve all our problems, not some, as sometimes we think. He will solve some of our problems. But the scripture says He will solve all our problems. You see, what I have learned over the years is that God doesn't just patch things up, but He restores. God makes the broken new, brand new. And I've learned that very quickly in my Christian walk with God. God, right almost in the start, when I first became a Christian, God showed me this, like a big tub or a bath. And it had all holes, and there was water going into this bath. There's a tap, and it was never going to fill up because it just pours out through these holes. And I looked And the water stopped flowing out. And I looked and it was all fixed up. And I'm looking for patches to see where the patches were, where it's been fixed. And God showed me that what I fix, what I restore, I don't fix it. I make it new. And that's what he done to that bath. He made it brand new. And that's what he does with our problems. That's what he does when we're going through a hard time. He doesn't just patch us up. He makes us brand new. And as we just read here, David promises answers to prayer. And in these two verses we just read in 17 and 18, he tells us what God does when we pray to him. In fact, in verse 17, he tells us, the righteous cry out, and the Lord does what? Hears. The Lord hears. We may think he's not hearing us sometimes. You know, when we're going through a hard time, we think he's not hearing. We're just praying to the walls or the ceiling. When we are going through a storm, we think, where are you, God? Why aren't you answering my prayer? And we feel like no one else is listening. There's no one out there that is listening. But I can assure you that God is listening. And we see throughout the Gospels, if you look throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus responding to those who come to him for help. To those who come to him for help. Jesus responded to many people. For example, whether it was healing, whether it was other needs, Jesus always responded. Remember, Jesus healed Mary, Peter's mother-in-law. Remember the centurion's servant who was paralyzed and in terrible suffering. He was healed after the centurion came to Jesus. Remember the man with leprosy. He was healed after coming to Jesus and asking for help. The ruler's daughter, who was dead, Jesus went inside the house, took the girl by the hand, and she got up. After the ruler asked Jesus for help, Jesus calms the storm when the disciples were in fear of drowning. They said, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. Once we go to Jesus, he answered our prayers. But we need to go to him first. We need to go to him first. And Jesus calmed the storm. You know, sometimes we feel like that. We feel like there's a huge storm coming and it's never going to go away. Sometimes we feel like we're going to drown and there is no life jackets to hold on to. There's no boat to hang on to. We're just going to drown. But at times like this, when we feel like that, we need to go to Jesus and open our hearts to him, telling him how we feel, telling him about our problems. So Jesus responded to many, many people. Right throughout the New Testament, we read how Jesus came to the aid of those who were in trouble after they went to him. You see, problems are universal. Everyone has them. As we saw here before, no one put their hand up when I said, if there's anyone here that doesn't go through problem, everyone goes through them. Many people try to solve their problems by themselves. You know, if they're sick, you try to pray for them. Ah, now I'll be okay. You know, I'll go to the doctor, he'll give me some medication. And there's nothing wrong with that, of course. But I'll be okay. I don't need prayer. The doctor will fix me up. You know, if they lost their job, oh, I'll find, don't worry, I'll be okay. I'll find another job. It's not hard to do. I'll go out looking for a job. When people got marriage problems, oh, we'll sort it out. It's okay, you don't need to pray for us. We'll sort it out. But you know, they won't sort it out. They'll just patch it up, patch the marriage up for a little while. Because they need Jesus in their marriage if they're going to restore it. That's restoration. Others seek help from friends and others from professionals. And there is nothing wrong with seeking help from professionals and from friends. And as Pastor Pat always says from here, she said it many times, there is nothing wrong with seeking help from counselors and professionals. As long as they are godly people and they are going to direct you according to God's word, not according to what you want to hear. Sometimes we don't like when people correct us. So, Pat said that many times, Pastor Pat. You know, make sure it's a godly person you're going to. And don't expect them to tell you something that you want to hear. It's not what you want to hear. It's what God wants to tell you, what God wants to show you. That's why sometimes we don't like to go to other Christians for advice. Because when we go to other Christians for advice, they point us out to the Word of God. And sometimes that's not what we want to hear. We want to hear something else. At this time, I was going to share a testimony, but I'll leave it to the end, see if we have time left, because I want to go through this first. Our God is a good God who solves problems and who hears our prayers. Now let's look at the first problem that we had. We all had a problem, and that was solved for us, the problem of sin. So we look at Romans chapter 6, verse 23. It's Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus, our Lord. So sin became man's number one problem, didn't it? When he first sinned. When he first disobeyed God. And man, that was the biggest problem, that man could not save himself. None of us could save ourselves. Jesus saved that problem for us when he died on the cross. He saved that problem. Now let me ask you, is there a bigger problem than that? It doesn't matter what problem comes to us. Nothing is bigger than the problem we had of sin. Because we had no hope of salvation. But Jesus solved that for us. You know, we worry about every little problem that comes our way. About our children. Then we worry about our grandchildren. Then we worry about our home. We worry about our relationships. We worry about finances. And yet, in Matthew chapter 6, 25 to 34, God, Jesus tells us not to worry about anything. Remember Jesus saying, don't worry about anything. We'll actually look through it very quickly. I wasn't going to read it, but we'll look through it. It's Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Okay, so Matthew chapter 6, verses 25 to 34. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not your life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you by worrying can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of them, one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you? O you of little faith! So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek ye first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all of these things will be given to you as well. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. That's true, isn't it? Every day something comes up when we think, oh, well, I'm free now, I feel, you know, everything's going good, got plenty of money, I've got a good job, my family, they're all happy, they're all got jobs, and then something else comes up. When you think, where did this come from? But as I said earlier, Jesus solved our biggest problem, our biggest problem. Every other problem we may face, Jesus will help us overcome it, as long as we go to him with that problem. Sometimes we go to everyone else before we go to God, don't we? We go to friends, we go to other people, And then when everything else fails, when nothing is working, you say, oh yes, I better turn to God now. You know, well, it should be the other way around. We turn to God first, and then we can turn to everyone else. But I know when I can talk from experience myself, where we try to do everything on our own strength, but we can't do it, I can assure you. And I've learned that in the last 25 years, especially as a Christian, that when you try to do things or solve problems on your own strength, it doesn't work. Go to God first. And then, yes, of course, there's nothing wrong with seeking help. So let's have a look at Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Okay, that's Hebrews chapter 13, verses 5 and 6. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, never will I leave you, never will I forsake you. So we say with confidence, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can men do to me? A beautiful verse. Do we hold on to that promise? That's a promise from God himself. And we need to stand on the promises of God. But we don't always do we? We don't always stand on the promises of God. I will never leave you nor forsake you. What a guarantee. You know, when we're going through a storm, do we think of that? Do we think that God is with us right now? He's never going to leave me in times of trouble, in times of distress or times of storms. He is with me right now, and he's not going to leave me at this time. We see many people going through the problem of sorrow, people losing loved ones, loneliness, disappointments, see divorce, pain and suffering. And unfortunately, you might not like to hear this, but Christians are not exempt from these things. If anyone preaches that, because when we become Christians, we're exempt from any turmoil, don't believe them. Because even as Christians, we go through these things. This is a sinful world we live in. And we go through things like everybody else. The sad thing is that some people give up when sorrow strikes. They give up and they forget this verse of Scripture. I will never leave you. Because if we remember that verse, that God's never going to leave us, it doesn't matter what we go through. We're not going through it by ourselves on our own. We got God. We go through it with God. That's why I feel so sorry for people that don't know the Lord, who they turn to when trouble comes. They got no one to turn to. They are desperate. We can go to our room, close the door, and just see God. See, sometimes we think that Jesus is with us only when in happy times. When we're happy, when everything is going good, thank you, Lord. You're supplying me all my needs, supplying me with everything. And yes, Lord, I feel happy. But the real test is when storms come our way. Are we still thanking Jesus? Or are we saying to God, where are you now? You know, we forget. Again, this verse. Doesn't matter what you're going through. The promise is always, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Let's have a look at 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Cast all your anxiety on him, because he cares for you. He doesn't care for you when you're having a good time, when everything is going sweet. He cares for you. Whatever you're going through, he cares for you. Christ desires deeply to carry our cares. And we need to present all our worries, all our anxieties and problems to God. Reality is, yes, we're going through a hard time. We can't deny that. You know, if I'm going to work limping, something's wrong, people say, what's wrong? Can't say, oh, there's nothing wrong, I'm okay, you know? And yet, reality is we're going through a hard time. We're going through a hard time. That's reality. Some people try to hide that, you know. They might be a headache, something they're going through. And you ask, how are you doing? How are you going? Oh, good. Everything is good. They're very good. And yet inside they're hurting, they're crying, they're upset. So don't feel also that you are alone when you are facing problems. Many people feel that they're the only ones that they're going through that problem. They say, why me? There's 24 million people in Australia. How many? 24, 25? Why me of all these people? Have you ever heard that? Lord, why me? Why am I going through this? Well, there's millions like you going through that. Not just you. There are millions of people going through that. Jesus loves you. He will never leave you, as he promised. He says, we will never leave you. The Lord is our shepherd, that verse said. The Lord is our shepherd, leading us in the best way and protecting us. God has a purpose also in what he allows. When suffering strikes, we must be prayerful. We must be praying all the time. You know, sometimes we give up prayer. We pray for a while, and then we give up. Oh, well, nothing is happening. I stop. We can't stop. We must be persistent in prayer. We must be patient. You know, I want it now. I want it right now. I ask God for something. Why haven't I received it? No. We must be patient. And we also need to seek God's purpose. In everything, we need to seek God's purpose. And I believe that most of our Christian growth is done when we are facing problems. I don't know if you agree with me, but when we're going through problems, that is where most of our Christian growth is done. And I'm not saying here that God does purposely send, gives us pains and suffering and send us storm. He doesn't do that at all. But things happen in this world. As I said, we live in a sinful world, and things like that happen. Let's look at Romans chapter 8, verse 28. Romans 8, chapter 8, verse 28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. So all circumstances will work together for the believer's good. And I believe that God does everything in order to accomplish his plan for our lives. Let's read Ephesians 2, chapter 1, verse 3. That's Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. God loves us so much that he sends us blessings. He sends blessings to his children. That means to you and me. He sends us blessings. Do we receive those blessings? We need to respond to God when he gives us blessings. You know, I think we take blessings sometimes so for granted, as if they never happened. People say, and I heard it many times, that God gives them a cross, especially when they're going through a hard time. The people say everyone has a cross. I know my mother believed in that. Everyone had to have a cross. I know my younger brother, he was a bit naughty. He done some naughty things in his life. And mom always said, he's my cross. Everyone has to have a cross. And God gave me him as my cross. Have you heard that before? That God gives them a cross. So God has to give them some sort of a pain or suffering or, you know. And people with some child that have it, with disabilities and things, they say, oh, that's my cross. God gave me that cross, I have to live with it. God gives us blessings, not a cross. He gives us blessings. He carried the cross instead of us, not give us a cross. He forgives and forgets. You know, that's such a wonderful, such a beautiful verse in there, especially Hebrews chapter 10, verse 17. God will not only forgive us our sins, He says, I will remember them no more. And again, Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34. He says, I'll forgive them all their iniquities, all their everything that they ever done wrong. And I will not only forgive them, but I will remember them no more. How beautiful is that? Doesn't matter what we've done in the past. Doesn't matter what we've done. He doesn't remember them anymore. And I'm sure God is not forgetful. He just doesn't want to remember them anymore. Many people say they forgive. How many times I heard people say, oh, I forgive that person. But they do not forget. They hold on to resentments, which of course hurts and destroys. And every time the person that hurts them is mentioned, you see anger rising up in that person. You see gossiping about that person. But Jesus is different. He's not like that. He not only forgives, but forgets, which is something sometimes is hard for us to do. Let's have a look at John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. John chapter 14, verses 1 to 3. Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. He will receive us. Let not your hearts be troubled. He receive us. Trust him that he's going to receive us. He says, I will go to prepare a place for you. In some translation, it says, I think in the New King James Version, it says mentions. He prepares a mansion for us. And that refers to a secure, permanent dwelling places. Such places have already been set aside for all God's people. God's already prepared a place for you. For each person that has accepted Jesus, he has already prepared a mansion for you. You know, Peter may have failed Jesus, but Christ will not fail to return for Peter and for everyone else who has believed in him. That's a promise. He's going to return for us. When, I don't know. Might be shortly, in months, in years. We don't know. But he is coming for sure. He's coming because that's what he told us. He's going to come and take us back. What an assurance we have. So why do we worry? Why do we allow worries of this world to drag us down when we have such an assurance? See, if you have accepted Jesus Christ into your life, then you know that Jesus is coming back for you. He's going to return for you. Why do we worry? And it's got to happen. I mean, we're not here forever. You know, I look at my life now, 60 years, and I think, where did the last 60 years gone? I can't believe where they are. I'm thinking, how long are we going to live? I don't know, 80, 70, 80? There's not many left. But I feel confident that Jesus is going to come back and take me with him. And he has prepared a mansion for me, as he has prepared a mansion for each one of you, everyone that has accepted him as their Lord and Savior. Today's world, as we know, is filled with danger, frustration, and insecurity. And millions are seeking peace and security. But unfortunately, people are looking in the wrong places for peace and security. They're looking in material things. They said, the next boat will make me more happy. The next car will make me more happy. You know, the next bigger house will make me more happy. But they don't last very long. I can assure you, none of that lasts very long. Real and lasting peace and security are found only in Jesus Christ. All who received him as Lord and Savior are secure in the family of God. Christ has promised to come again and receive us. And when this happens, there will be no more sin, no more sorrow, no more sickness or suffering. Revelation chapter 21 verse 4 tells us that. There'll be none of that. None of that. So put your hope in God. When you have problems, think of what Paul went through without getting depressed. Sustained by God's grace. God's grace can sustain you and me. We can stand on that. We can stand on those promises of God. And don't take God's promises for granted. God promises us that He's never going to leave us nor forsake us. And when we're going through a hard time, we need those promises. We need to stand on those promises. That's why many people give up, because they don't stand on those promises. And now I just like to share, it's plenty of time, I just like to share a testimony. It will only take about 5 minutes. I wrote it all down because I didn't want to forget it. But just to show you God's goodness and how God does answer prayers. In September last year, not very long ago, about 3 months ago, 4 months ago, I got, one moment I was okay, doing everything I'd always done. And one morning, one day I woke up very, very sick. I was at home, I had very high fever, and I was going from sweating bullets, to feeling really hot, to really feeling cold, shivering. I felt very weak as I was bringing up, and I was going to the toilet quite often and not eating anything. So Sue drove me to the local doctor. I couldn't stand or sit. I had to lie down only. So I asked the receptionist when I got to the doctor if I could lie down while waiting for the doctor to see me. So she put me in a room with a bed in it. When the doctor came in the room, I told him what was happening to me. He told me he was going to give me 2 needles, one in each arm, and that I had to stay in that room for about an hour to see if the needles he was giving me will have a reaction on my body. After about 45 minutes, he told me to go home and come back first thing in the morning. Soon as I got home, things got worse. I was going to the toilet more often. I was bringing up many more times. I had a very, very bad night that night. The doctor should have never sent me home. I was that sick. Anyway, during the night I was delirious. I was going again from cold to hot. My whole body felt like it was shutting down. The next day in the morning, she took me back to the doctor. He took one look at me and told me I need to go to hospital immediately. So Sue drove me to the Footscray Hospital. As soon as I arrived there, I gave the letter which the doctor gave me. I gave the letter from my doctor to the nurse there. And they had a quick look at me at the desk and told me to sit down. I was very worried as I was thinking I was going to be in the waiting room for 3 to 4 hours. That's normal case in Footscray Hospital. And that's pretty standard. My biggest worry was that I couldn't sit down for that long, not even for 5 minutes. I was very weak, very faintish, so I looked for 3 empty chairs next to each other. I thought at least I might be able to lay down discreetly. So I sat down. I told Sue to go and park the car because she left the car in the emergency area. So go and park the car and find the car spot. As she left and to park the car, to my amazement, because there was many people before me. It wasn't full, but there was, I don't know, maybe 10 people before me. But they called me to go inside. They thought, wow, 5 minutes. And they gave me a number of tests, of course. Then they told me I was staying in hospital. So they gave me a room with about 4 other patients. I was put on the drip straight away, and they gave me some medication. I don't know what it was. I was told that I was the only one allowed to use that bathroom, toilet area. I thought it's because I was going so often, every 10, 15 minutes. Didn't realize why they done that. So they put a sign on the door, not to be used except by Louis Mersica. Privilege. And after do many tests and being examined by many doctors, I was told I would be taken to another room by myself as soon as the room became available. So the next day, they had a room available. They took me there. It was a quarantine room. I think they call it something else, not quarantine room, isolation room or something. That means that any doctor or nurse coming to the room had to wear special clothing or special... And when they left the room, they had to throw it out. There was a bin there, and until by the end of the day, the bin would be full to the brim because as they come in and out. On the third day at the hospital, I was getting worse. They kept giving me the drip 24 hours a day, plus many different needles and medication. I was still not eating. The doctor came to see me on the third day and told me that I had a bug that has never been seen in Australia, and they didn't know what country it came from. So they were going to try and put me on these very strong antibiotics. But because it's so strong, they could only give me 6 bags total. They don't know what would happen after that. If that didn't work, more or less there was nothing else they could give me after that. So they said they'd give me 6 bags, which was given like the drip bag, same bag as the drip. So I had the drip bag and I had the antibiotics. And the antibiotics could only be given every 12 hours. So first 4 bags, which is took 2 days after that, didn't work, didn't do absolutely nothing. I was still very sick. Chloe probably know about that antibiotics. I don't know what it is. It's apparently very strong. I was still going to the toilet every 20 minutes, and I was still not eating. In fact, going to the toilet got worse. They made me lie down every time I went. And every time the nurse changed, I'll show her the times I went. It's 2 pages full. That's every day. So on the 5th day, during the night, at about 2 a.m., the nurse, who was very busy, there was a couple of people crying out in pain, and I said to the nurse, what's wrong with those people? She said, oh, we can't settle them down. We just, and especially one of them was screaming in pain. So she was supposed to give it to me at 12 o'clock, but she came at 2 o'clock. I never rang the bell or asked, because I knew they were off their feet, especially on night shift. I think there was only one nurse in our ward and a helper with her, I think, and it seemed like that. So I never bothered them. And so she came at 2 o'clock, and she gave me the 5th antibiotic, the 5th one. So far, nothing happened. By now, I started to get a bit concerned, because if the last 2 bags didn't work, I would be in a lot of trouble. This is coming from the doctor, what the doctor told me. Straight after she hooked the 5th bag of antibiotics, I had this huge headache. The only way I can describe it is like someone put a vise on my head and they tightening it. And at the same time, my head was throbbing, bang, bang, bang. And again, I still didn't call the nurse. I thought, must be the antibiotics. So I couldn't stand this pain. At one time, I mean, it must have been about 3 o'clock, I thought I was going crazy because the pain got worse and worse. And I think this, myself, I think it was due to all the very strong antibiotics that they were giving me. As the pain got stronger and stronger, I started praying to God to take that pain away. The only words that I was saying were, pain be gone in Jesus' name. Pain be gone in Jesus' name. And I kept repeating those words. As I was saying those words, I was holding my head, trying to ease the pain or the throbbing in my head. So I kept repeating that. And I started moving my hand slowly away. And I thought, it's gone. Slowly, slowly. I thought, the pain is gone. And it did go. After repeating that over and over again, pain be gone in Jesus' name. That's all I could say. After that, the pain was gone, as I said. And for the first time, I was able to sleep from, I'd say we'd been about 3 o'clock. I was able to sleep till 6:30 in the morning straight, for 3 hours straight, which I haven't been able to do for the last 6 days. I was awoken by the nurse who wanted to know what happened to me that night. I was wondering what she's talking about. She said, what happened to you last night? I told her what happened. I told her about the pain. I told her I prayed. And she told me that she came into the room about 4 a.m., took my blood pressure, checked my oxygen, done other checks, and she said that I didn't move. I stayed asleep. That is a miracle in itself, because if I hear a pin drop when I'm asleep, I'll wake up. I'm a very, very sensitive sleeper. When the doctor came to see me in the morning, I told him how I didn't go to the toilet for 3 hours, from 15 to 20 minutes to 3 hours, not going to the toilet. For about 3 hours that morning. And for the first time, I was able to eat some breakfast. They gave me breakfast, I don't know, 8 o'clock or something, and I was able to eat it. I couldn't hold nothing before that. He told me that he now was happy with my progress and that I needed to stay in hospital because I need to take the last bottle of antibiotics that day. So that day, I had breakfast, then I had lunch, then I had dinner, 3 full meals. So the next day when the doctor came to see me again, he asked me how I felt. I said, I'm ready to go home. So he says, that's how you feel? Of course, he gave me some instructions what to do and for a while to keep away from people as much as I could and to take this, what's that powder called? With water and for the hydration, to make sure you keep up that, otherwise your body can just shut down. And I was able to go home. And within a few days resting at home, I was completely healed. Now, if God doesn't answer prayers, I don't know who does. Because the moment I focused on God and told him to take that pain away, the pain was completely gone. Within a few minutes. And not only that, as I said, those, especially one person in particular, who was crying out. He was in a real bad way. And during all this, I started praying forgot about myself, started praying for that bloke, for the his pain. Said, Lord, give him rest, give him peace, you know. And within a few minutes, I didn't hear another cry. And I wanted to ask the nurse in the morning how that person went. But, you know, when they're changing shift, I think they're in a hurry. And she I didn't want to waste her time. But that person, after all that crying, he cried for hours and hours and hours. And during going through these things, as I prayed for him, within a few minutes, he stopped crying. He stopped. I don't know whether he fell asleep, where his pain was gone. I don't know. But God is good. Amen? God answers prayers. And when you have, when you have problems, seek God. Not if you have problems. We all have problems. Just seek God. Go to God. Go to him. Every time... You know, as I said before, in the New Testament, every time there was healing, always because they asked Jesus to come and help him. Jesus, someone needs healing. Someone, you know, is in stress, needs your help. Someone needs healing. And Jesus always healed them, as long as we go to him. Not everyone else first, Jesus first. Yes, after we can go to doctors, we can... Go to counselors, but we need to seek God first. Amen? Amen. Amen.